When you talked about this biologic idea, it also made me think a little bit about stem cells. I was thinking, I interviewed Dan Pollier, who has been involved with the work on AML. And of course, they've seen this really exciting work there with venetoclax and hypomethylating agents. But he was talking about the effect of venetoclax on stem cells. Do you think that somehow stem cells could be part of this story, that maybe venetoclax isn't affecting stem cells or, you know, that population?
I don't know. I mean, anything is possible, but I think most likely it is transforming some proportion of myeloma patients to behave in a more aggressive biology. I think the message really is to understand the limitations of surrogate endpoints. MRD negative rate, progression-free survival, they're still not the real endpoints. They're surrogates of the real endpoint, and they're imperfect surrogates. And so when you go by them, there are bound to be circumstances where the overall survival is actually not improved. And here we have a situation where the overall survival is actually worse in the arm which has the better PFS and the better MRD negative rate. And we have seen this before. It's like, you know, from days before, if you see in the old studies in cardiology where they tried to suppress premature ventricular beats, which then lead to VTAC with enkenide and flecainide, and after myocardial infarction, these drugs were very effective in suppressing premature ventricular beats. So there was a randomized controlled trial done to see if I can suppress these premature ventricular beats with these antiarrhythmic agents and thereby prevent post-heart attack deaths. What they found was these drugs are very effective in the surrogate suppression, but the death rate was more in the arms that got the treatment. So what it tells you is that, you know, human beings are much more complex and our surrogates are imperfect, and we have to be just be wary of that when we make early judgment calls.
Yeah, and usually when I talk to myeloma investigators, in the back of my head, I'm always thinking back to the general principle that really has gotten very deep penetration in the myeloma investigator community, which is to maximally drive down tumor burden as early as possible, which is very different than the message oncologists heard, for example, in metastatic breast cancer, where initially they had that approach initially, and then they started pulling back because it was more, it didn't really affect survival. And I've always questioned the myeloma community about whether or not, you know, that belief really applies. Do you believe that?
I agree with you. I think, you know, depth of response, progression-free survival, they are measures of efficacy. However, overall survival is not just a measure of efficacy. It's an aggregate measure. It is dependent on safety as well as efficacy. You could have efficacy, but, you know, what is the point of dying in MRD negative state due to some other toxicity problem? So it's really important to understand overall survival as a composite aggregate measure. And that's not only dependent on efficacy, but also it depends on doing it safely. And then the second thing, what the venetoclax story tells you is that you can take 100 patients, and the net result is if you're harming more patients than you're helping, then your overall survival results won't look good.